Hi, this is your host, Gareth Rice, and you're listening to Canadiana Suite on UMFM 101.5 radio station. This is a radio program primarily dedicated to highlighting the works of the many talented Canadian jazz artists on the scene today. We'll be having Matthew Story and Reginald Lewis on the show today, two members of the Simply This Quintet based in Illinois. The group released their first album, Stepping Up, in October 2020, and strive to modernize the classic tenor saxophone setup of the 50s and 60s with their sound and primary focus on highlighting original compositions. Before the interview, we'll be hearing from the dual collaboration between Canadian tenor sax and guitar player Mike Murley and David Occupinti, respectively, from the 2002 record Duologue, and a tune featuring the late great Philly tenor sax player Bootsy Barnes, who's an important mentor to Lewis, off the record Philly Gumbo Volume 2, released in 2005. These are the tunes Segment and Ortleaves off Duologue and Philly Gumbo Volume 2 by the group John Suena and the Philadelphians.
Thank you.
Joining us are the tenor saxophonists Matthew Story and Reginald Lewis, both members of the group Simply This Quintet. The group is based in Illinois and released their first album, Steppin' Up, in October of this year. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Thanks for having us on today.
Yeah, no problem.
Doing fine. Doing fine.
Nice. I guess the first question is, how did this idea for the quintet come about?
That's a great question. So I'm the band leader for the group, and I moved up to Illinois to pursue my master's degree at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in 2018. And I was really, when I graduated my undergrad, I wanted to put a group together of people who were committed to a more serious group, not just gigging on in town, but a space for people to be able to write and perform their own original music and look for professional opportunities that school might not offer. And so I started looking around, and I met Reggie. He came to town that same year to start his doctoral work. And so we were chatting about some different opportunities, and I thought it might be a nice idea to try to put together a two-tenor band, especially because I love the way he plays so much. And then brought in some other people, Emma Taylor on bass, who was starting her master's degree at the time. Frank Kurtz, who was finishing his master's degree at the time. He's our drummer in the group. And then originally, we had a guitarist, Jose Guzman, in the group. But after moving up to Chicago, he needed to take a step back from the group to take care of some family matters. So we brought in Jesus Fuentes on piano, who is a part of the second recording that we have out.
Cool. You've stated that you want to reinterpret the two classic tenor saxophone ensembles of the 1950s and 1960s through the modern lens of your original compositions. So I guess for both of you, how do you put that into practice with this sound and quintet?
Reggie, you want to talk about that? I'm happy to jump in.
Oh, sure. So with my compositions I had in mind, like I took after my grandfather, Robert Rusick Barnes, who was a famous jazz musician a lot, and he played with a tenor player a lot, Larry McKenna. So they were like the two-tenor thing, and I got most of my ideas in the way that I composed my music from their albums. They released two of them. His latest album was actually recorded by Corey Weeds, who's Canadian. But that was The More I See You in 2018. And then there was another one, Philly Gumbo Volume 2, where it was my grandpa, Boosie Barnes, and Larry McKenna, and on trumpet it was John Swanna. But that two-tenor sound thing was something, like I had it in my ear. So the songs that I composed, like on our recent album, Steppin' Up, I composed Blues for the Village, and with that in mind, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think especially as tenor saxophonists, I was exposed pretty early on to, you know, like Gene Ammons and Sonny Stitt, their great album Boss Tenors straight out of Chicago. Reggie and I have actually played that whole album down at one point. Yeah. And so that sound was something I've always loved, the idea of two tenor saxophonists sort of duking it out a little bit, but you know, there's not too much competition when we play, but the ability to have, you know, this very much the same sound coming from two instruments, from two saxophones, two tenor saxophones, having to find a way to make that work in music has always been sort of a fun challenge. And so I think everybody in the group, particularly with this most recent project, we've really started to figure out, you know, everybody's voice, each other's voice. And so we're really writing for the group. And that's really helped us sort of reinterpret this whole idea of a two-tenor band and been able to, you know, turn it into our modern thing.
Yeah, because when I was listening to it, like I heard a lot of like modern influences and then some like hard bop.
Yeah.
And then like some, like, I guess like some Art Blakey stuff and mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, you know, the album is pretty pretty mixed in how, you know, who wrote what. I think I just have one song on there, and so does Emma, and then everybody else has two of their original compositions on there. So it's really, you can start hearing sort of different influences as you kind of figure out what each person, what the quirks of each person's writing style is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was real cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess Where did the inspiration for the quintet name and like logo come from?
Well, so the inspiration for the quintet, the name came from a song that Reggie wrote called Simply This. That was one of the first songs we ever played when we first put the group together. And we were starting to look for opportunities. We were starting to apply for some jazz festivals, and we needed a name. And that was sort of just what we came up with. We decided to take a name from one of our songs, and then that worked out well. And then the logo, we don't really have just a true Simply This logo. The what you got on our second album was actually designed by one of Jesus Fuentes' friends in Mexico, Lorena. What is her last name? Lorena Contreras. And she did all of the album work. I sent her some photos, and she did some really great work. So that's really where that particular image came from. But the name has been something that we've had since the beginning. We considered rebranding at one point, but I think it's
Nice. I guess for both of you, like, what are your primary influences in terms of like just playing?
take that first, Reggie.
Okay. Well, my main influence is my grandfather, Boosie Barnes. It started in 10th grade. I didn't start playing until 10th grade. And I've just been listening to him ever since. And actually, since he's my main influence, but the first person that he told me to listen to was Charlie Parker. He gave me this little cassette tape. So, and Charlie Parker was playing a bunch of notes, and I just started playing. So I was kind of like, I don't even understand what's going on. I just hear a bunch of fast stuff. But when I listened to my grandfather, it was more intriguing to me, not because of the notes he played, and then the way he played. And then I began to understand Charlie Parker, but my main influence is my grandfather. So like, and then after him is Hank Moody, Dexter Gordon.
I definitely agree with what Reggie's saying. I think, and I would say one of my influences starting out was Hank Mobley, who I would say Reggie's grandfather drew influence from too. I think that the melodicism in which all of the people that you just mentioned, that really attracted was attractive to my ear starting out. The ability to play these nice, beautiful, long, well thought out phrases, and that's something that Reggie's grandfather absolutely does while still swinging his butt off and playing in that hard bop genre. Sort of some other influences I definitely have would be areas of Stan Getz's playing, particularly his later playing. I find a lot of influence, particularly in his way that he approaches ballads. And then for sure, Joe Henderson and Brecker. And then more recently, I've done quite a bit of work with Joel Fromm's music. And so his approach to playing. So I would say those are guys who sort of influence me into sort of my approach, which definitely differs from Reggie's. But it's funny, his some of the stuff that Reggie does, I've absorbed, and I think some of the stuff that I do, Reggie's absorbed.
Definitely. I started to try to play altissimo more because of Matt, actually. By playing next to him, it made me like on a gig, I'll hear him do it and I'll be like, what? Let me just try it. And so Matthew influenced me as well. And I'd like to add one more thing, not as just as far as playing wise, because I'm not at that level yet, but John Gorton, actually, who's a professor at the University of Manitoba, his practicing what's the word? His practicing like techniques, his he made us write down, we do this for 20 minutes, 20 minutes. All these exercises and everything, work on our scales and intervals and stuff, and I still do it to this day and write it down. But that was a huge influence on the way that I play and the way that I practice.
Yeah, you're on his new record, weren't you? Right? Yeah,
Oh yeah, Stranger Than Fiction.
that was a hit record.
Oh yeah, it is cool.
Yeah. You've also been active doing like an educational outreach program, doing master classes at different schools. And like Matthew, you hold a teaching assistantship at the University of Illinois, working with the jazz and classical faculty. So what's that experience been like for you?
It's been great. I decided to pursue music as an undergrad with the intention of teaching and trying to find a position at hopefully the collegiate level here soon. And as I've continued to develop as a player, I've also really had the opportunity to develop as a teacher. And I just really enjoy working with younger students. And we Reggie, I know, can speak to this too. We had a really great time down in South Carolina recently at my undergraduate university, Furman University, as well as Anderson University, where one of the University of Illinois alumni, Derek Cordoba, is now director of their commercial music program. And there's just a lot of energy that you gain from these undergrad students who are really hungry to figure out what they need to be doing next and how to continue to develop their songwriting and their playing. And yeah, it's just been a really rewarding experience to be able to do the educational outreach part, both with the quintet and, working here at the university.
Definitely, yeah. I guess you've also had the opportunity to play with jazz legends such as like Glenn Miller Orchestra, like Bob Moses, Brad Guts. So what was it like playing with them?
Really great. Reggie and I were on that gig together playing with the Glenn Miller Orchestra, and we had a ton of fun. That was a really cool experience to be able to play with some of those guys who are just so steeped in the history of that particular genre and style. And yeah, Bob Moses was a whole trip, man. He's out. I played with him in my undergrad, and he handed us a chart, and there were about three notes on the page and just a bunch of sort of open descriptor words. Then we played free for an hour. That was a really eye-opening and ear-opening experience. So, and then playing with Brad Dutz, that was here at the University of Illinois. Another just really great experience. It's always fun to, sort of like what I was just talking about with, Reggie and I getting to work with some undergrad students. It's also really great to be able to work with people who are, just 20, 30 years, 40 years down the road from where we are, and they can share their experiences with us. So yeah, it's been really great.
Yeah, definitely. You can learn so much from them.
Absolutely.
Reggie, you've talked about your grandfather, the late legendary tenor saxophonist Bootsy Barnes, and how he had a profound impact on your development and appreciation for the music growing up. Can you speak about like what you gained from that relationship, both as like a musician and like a general standpoint?
Oh yeah, so from a general standpoint, we talked about everything from girls, how to check the oil in your car, how to make certain food. He taught me how to play chess. So like during that time, I wasn't even interested in music. I wanted to be like an NBA player. So he was my grandpa. So we'll go out to eat and everything. And then as far as the music thing, I went to his shows before I was even interested in music. Like I played drums in fourth grade, but that was for like 5 months. And then he was excited about it, but I stopped and was playing sports and went to a couple shows. And then one time I went to a school play and he was there, and I didn't know he was going to be there. So when I went downstairs to say, hey to him and give him a hug, talk to him and everything, everybody in the band was like, "That's your grandpa?" I was like, "Yeah, it was regular. Like I knew he was famous, but I didn't know like to what extent, because I wasn't really interested in music. So then once I realized that everybody kind of like was like, "You should be playing saxophone." I was like, "You know what? I'm gonna give it a try." So, I called him. I was like, "Hey, Pop-Pop, can I get that sax?" He was like, "Call me next week." He did that like three times. So I had to keep calling him. And that just made me want to work even harder. So like he just influenced me to just work hard to get it. He just wasn't gonna hand me a saxophone just because he had it. He wanted to see if I wanted it. So he just influenced me to just work hard. Musically, first thing he told me was how to read the notes. Every good boy does fine in face. And then he taught me bass clef. And then my C major scale, taught me how to put the reed on, everything all in one day. And then from then on, like I told you, gave me the Charlie Parker cassette. I listened to that But I just practiced and kept calling them and meeting up with them and, you know, getting lessons and stuff. But the main thing is just working hard to get where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
Or was yeah. It? Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I guess, do you have any like future projects coming up or any future gigs?
We're working on a few exciting opportunities that hopefully are going to sort of pay out. Project wise, we're taking a little bit of a break from any kind of recording or anything. Just since we put out an EP in May of 2020, and then we recorded our Stepping Up in May of 2021. So we've been in the studio here quite a bit. But yeah, we've been applying for some different jazz festivals internationally. So we're waiting to hear back on some of that. We put in some applications and are being considered for a couple of different music conferences coming up next March. So sort of a lot of irons in the fire, waiting to see exactly what's gonna come up for us. For sure, our hope is to be playing next summer. If not at some music festivals, definitely we're gonna be booking a tour in the States. So hopefully some people will come and check us out wherever we end up.
Nice. Yeah, thanks so much for both of you for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks to Matthew Story and Reginald Lewis for being on the show. Here's three tracks from their newest album, Stepping Up. Then we'll end off with some more Mike Murley. Try saying that three times fast. This is Aftershock, Blues for the Village, and Synergy from Stepping Up. The standard, I've Got You Under My Skin from the 1996 album Conversation Piece, Time and Tear, from the 92 album of the same name, and Onmo from the 2019 album plays the music of Kenny Wheeler. The music you heard before the interview was Segment and Ortliebs off Dual Log and Philly Gumbo Volume 2. This has been Canadiana Suite on UMFM 101.5 radio station, and it's been a pleasure. Till next time.
Thank you.